excited about launching today's series called All I Want for Christmas. And the weather's already changing for the series, all right? So I just want to take a vote right now. How many of you guys like love this weather? Raise your hand if you like love this weather. How many of you guys are really spiritual and wish we were further south right now? You know, wish we were further south, it was warmer, all right? That's kind of how I am too. But I tell you what, it's kind of neat because we think about Christmas time, we think about cooler weather, we think about gifts, we think about what we want God to give us, and we're going to look at these eternal gifts that God gives us. And today, we're going to look at the first gift. I want to start off by telling you a story about a family that went to a country diner, and they were having a meal together. And on the wall was this big old moose head on the wall. And somebody had put a party hat on that moose head. And this little five-year-old girl who's in this family is looking at that moose head with that party hat the entire dinner. And every time she looks at the moose head, she gets like sad. The dad can see that she's sad every time she looks at the moose head. And so he just says, "Honey, you know, some people like to go hunting." And then she turns to her dad and says, "Daddy, I completely understand. I know all about that. But why did they have to shoot him at his own birthday party?" And because we don't normally, right, associate acts of violence with birth, right? That's just something we don't typically do. But this is the case in the record of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was born in a world full of conflict. He was born in a world full of strife and full of oppression. The paranoia was so great during the time of Jesus' birth that the current king at the time of that area heard about a savior, a king being born. And so what he did because of his paranoia, he gave orders to slaughter all the babies in Bethlehem. That's not an image that you're going to see on a Christmas card this year. I can tell you that right now. And that was the current state that the world was in when Jesus arrived. And it really hasn't changed that much, has it? Historians have tried to discover in recorded human history how many years have actually existed without war on planet Earth. And so they did a study about 6,000 years of human history. They only found under 300 of those years, they could find no traces of war happening anywhere. My guess is they probably missed something. There hasn't been a single year of my life where there hasn't been war somewhere on Earth. Someone has commented that peace is that rare moment in history where people stop to reload. If you went to Bethlehem today, you would not find peace on earth. I've been there several times. When you go to Bethlehem, there's huge walls, there's fences, there's barbed wire. There's people that want to make sure that you're not armed. There's people walking around with machine guns on their backs. I mean, it's a place of a lot of tension. Peace on earth, more like stress on earth. It's not just on an international level. Let's take it home for a moment. Do you know that the day after Thanksgiving is the biggest shopping day of the year? You probably know that, right? But you probably don't know this, that the day after New Year's is the biggest day for filing divorces in the entire year. The day after New Year's. All you have to do is go to any mall and go to any major highway right here in Northeast Florida and recognize that stress on earth is more of a theme than peace on earth, right? And so we hear the song that the angels sung at the birth of Jesus, right? And those words are so intoxicating. We want to believe that we can have a world like that, but it's really hard. It's really hard, isn't it? Let's look back at the words of the lyrics of the song that the angels sung at the birth of Jesus, starting in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, an army of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven.'" And what? Say it with me, church. "And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." This song implies, and Christmas suggests, that the earth is full of people who need peace, that we don't need lessons on how to disturb the peace, right? We're pretty good as humans and how to disturb the peace. Well, we don't even sometimes even give peace a chance. And so stress and strife are kind of the norm of our lives. And yet this song of the angels implies that this is not the world and what it's created for and what it was meant for. The ancient people of God affirmed this idea with a greeting. If back to Jesus' day, if you were to say hello to someone, you wouldn't say, you know, aloha. You wouldn't say that. You would say shalom. And then when you would say goodbye, when someone was leaving, you would say, shalom be with you. And so when the Bible takes the word shalom, it translates it as peace. But that's not a great translation for that word. It's quite not good enough. Shalom means more than that. It means more than just the absence of conflict or the absence of war. Shalom means completeness. Shalom means wholeness. Shalom means perfection. It expressed the hope that one day the world would finally experience harmony for which it was actually designed and created for. That one day there would be physical shalom. I mean, think about your life. Think about your body. Like, what is death? Death is when your body is at war with itself. Most of us, let me take that back, all of us are going to die someday unless Jesus shows up. And it's going to happen because of cancer, probably, or stroke, or a heart attack, because our bodies are going to be at war with themselves. And they express this, the hope that one day that we would experience physical shalom and we won't need funeral directors anymore. That one day there would be communal shalom and neighbor is going to have peace with every neighbor. And one day there'll be no more walls and no more barbed wire and no more police and no more security. And one day we'll have spiritual shalom. That we wouldn't need confessionals, we wouldn't need counselors, because you know what? There's no guilt and there's no shame, and there would be heart surrender to the Lord, and everyone will have peace with God. The old prophets of God dared to imagine a world like this. And so if you read some of the prophets, some of the descriptions of what the world could be, it almost like it's too good to be true. Look at what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 11. Look what he says. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together, and the leopard will lie down with the baby goat, and the calf will be a yearling, and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And a little child will lead them all, and the cow will graze near the bear, and the cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, and the baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Look at this, church, say it with me. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Don't you want to live in a world like that? I know I do. Is it possible that one day we won't need cemeteries? Is it conceivable that one day there'll be no such thing as lawyers, right? We're not suing each other anymore. There's no more people filing for divorce. Is it possible that someday we're not going to need hospitals and we're not going to need armies? The prophets thought it was going to happen, that one day the whole earth was going to be covered in shalom. And they thought it would be inaugurated at the coming of the Messiah. That's why the very next verse, here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 11. In that day, the heir to David's throne, talking about Jesus, will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a what? A glorious place. And I think that helps explain what happened two chapters earlier in Isaiah. When Isaiah prophesied about this coming Messiah. And people usually use this verse as a Christmas text, because this is a great Christmas text written 700 years before Jesus. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 9. For a child is born to us, right? Jesus Christ. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called, say it with me, with great enthusiasm. Say this with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. You see, when those angels were singing about Jesus' birth, peace on earth, they weren't saying, isn't this a quiet, still night? That's not what they were saying. They were saying those old prophets weren't crazy. They nailed it. See, Christmas is a birth announcement of a peace creator. That's what it is. That the hope of peace on earth is based on the good news that the Prince of Peace has left heaven to come live amongst us, to come to us. That Christmas is heaven's peace initiative. I love that. Christmas is heaven's peace initiative. You see, Jesus clearly saw himself on a peace mission. And we especially see this in the Gospel of Luke. A few chapters later, a lady comes up to Jesus at a party, and she comes from the street. And when I say it's a street, I mean that's where she worked, not where she lived, but that's where she worked, if you know what I mean. And she had no shalom. She had no communal shalom. She was an outcast. She was rejected, despised, pushed out by religious people. She had no spiritual shalom, no relationship with God. She was filled with shame and guilt, and she starts to cry before Jesus. She begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. And then Jesus looks at her and says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in what? Peace." Then the next chapter, we see a lady has been having a bleeding disorder for 12 years. Her body is at war with itself. She has no physical shalom, right? She has no communal shalom. She is an outcast. She's unclean. She's not even supposed to be leaving her house. But she sees Jesus and she touches him. And he turns around and he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in what? Go in peace." One of the last things Jesus says to disciples before he dies for our sins, he says to them, "Peace be with you. My peace I give to you." In the Gospel of Luke, it's interesting. Very first thing Jesus says to his disciples after the resurrection is this: "Peace be with you." See, Jesus boldly asserted that he could give the gift of peace. Now, what leader doesn't? What leader doesn't? I don't care if you're in a communist country, capitalist country, or you're in a dictatorship. What leader doesn't stand up and promise peace? But none of them deliver. Everyone makes the promise, but nobody delivers. So what makes Jesus say, "I can give peace"? Well, you have to understand something, family, and here's the truth. The absence of peace, Jesus teaches us, is because of the presence of sin. The absence of peace in every aspect of your life is because of the presence of sin. See, that's why there's no spiritual peace. Our sin has separated us from God. We're only left without Jesus. We're only left with shame, and we're only left with guilt. That's why there's no communal peace. That's why we need police, right? That's why we need barbed wire. Because sin has made us selfish creatures. You look out for you, and I look out for me. And I don't know if there's any other time in the year when this is more obvious. I mean, just think about the parking lot at Walmart right now, right? I mean, you go to Walmart, there's one spot open, and you're 50 feet away, and you look up, and there's another car coming from the other direction, 50 feet away, and you're both eyeing the same parking spot. Be honest, what do? You start doing what? Speeding up, right? You gun that sucker. You try to get in there with your RCC stick on the back of your car. All of a sudden, you realize they get there in front of you. They got an RCC sticker on the back of their car. Well, that's right. We're a bunch of knuckleheads here, all right? So let's just admit it. That's why there's no physical peace because of sin. That's why someday this body is going to break down, go at war against itself. It's going to die. You're going to put me in a box and put me 6 feet under the ground. Because why? The wages of sin is death. Leaders can promise peace all they want. The problem is they can't deal with the reason there is no peace. There's only one who can. In Colossians chapter 1, here's what it says about him. "For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything." I love that. God reconciled everything. Not just your sin and you, but everything in all creation. Everything to himself. He made what? Say it with me. He made what? Peace. with everything in heaven and on earth by means of what? Christ's blood on the cross. See, you can't have the peace of God till you make peace with God. You can't have the peace of God in your life till you make peace with God. This is what Jesus made possible on the cross. That's why he could offer peace that no other leader, no one else can offer. In Romans chapter 4, here's what it says. He was handed over to die. Why? Because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us what? Right with God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have what? Say it with me. Peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Amen, church. So that's the good news right there. And I'm going to tell you right now, this Christmas, you can receive no greater gift than peace with God. There is no greater gift out there, no greater blessing. You can't buy this on Amazon. You're not going to find this wrapped in shiny paper underneath a Christmas tree. Nothing better that you can receive this Christmas than peace with God. And Jesus made it possible. You can receive Jesus Christ by confessing and admitting your life. You know what? He is Lord of my life. He is Savior of my life. And being baptized in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can do that exactly right now. And some of you are saying, well, it sounds like you're trying to convert me. Yes. Yes. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Because there's at least 10 people in this room, 10 people listening to me right now online who don't have peace with God because you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I think about last week. Last week was an amazing week. I get done with this service. I go in before the next service trying to welcome people out there. I couldn't even make it outside because people kept stopping me and saying, I need to give my life to Jesus right now. And I'm like, right now? And they're like, yes, right now. I'm like, absolutely. And we had two people get baptized last week. Just, I couldn't even make it out there because I get them on one and the next one comes up and says, I need to give my life to Jesus right now. And I'm going to tell you right now what I loved about that. What I loved about that is they weren't like, you know what, I'm going to wait till my family's here. I'm going to wait. Let me tell you, that wasn't my story. When the Lord convicted me, he convicted me right then and there. I'll never forget, it's all places, like the worst place I could ever get baptized, because I'm an Auburn fan, it was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That's where I got convicted by the Spirit. God has a funny sense of humor. That's where I got baptized. Why? Because the Lord convicted me. And when he convicts you, you don't stop, you don't hold back. Let me put a pause in this till it's more convenient. No, you do it right then, right there. And you can have the best gift ever this Christmas. This is exactly what we're trying to do. That's exactly what we want you to do because we're imploring you on Christ's behalf this Christmas. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Have peace with God. Never forget Ben Merrill, who was a pastor for many years. And one thing about Ben, people, he's just so unassuming. He's kind of a little guy, short guy, but man, he was a spiritual giant. And nobody like knew the amazing things he had done if you just saw him walking around for God. He ended up being a pastor after being converted in his late 20s to Jesus Christ. And he ended up going to Anaheim, California, a little church of 100 people. He built that up to a 1,000 to 2,000 member church. It's amazing. And then he retired at age 65. At age 65, he moves to St. Louis, Missouri. I don't know if he got lost or something. He ends up in St. Louis in retirement. Shows up to another little church, just there to help. They're looking for a pastor. He's like, my name's Ben Merrill. They're like, who's that? You know, we don't know who you are, but we could use your help. Well, guess what he does there? In his retirement, he ends up building that church to over thousands of people. In his retirement, he retired at age 85. And I love Ben Merrill. It's amazing. Every time I always heard stories about Ben Merrill. You know, he's always walking around holding hands with his wife. I was in Indiana, of all places, saw him walking with his wife. They were in their mid-90s, walking around holding hands with each other. It was just amazing. And I think about Ben Merrill's life. And the thing about Ben Merrill, people don't realize, is that he was a war hero in World War II. And he actually was in Okinawa. He's one of the Marines that helped secure the island. Think about Toys for Tots, our Marines. And he was one of our Marines. And Japanese officials had flew into the island to sign peace papers. Problem was, there were 3,000 Japanese soldiers on that island, on the other side of the island, that didn't know about it and they didn't care about peace. He said that 2 weeks after peace was declared, Ben said he came closer to dying than any other time during the whole World War. Why? Because most of those Japanese soldiers died because they would not accept the offer of peace. Peace is right here. It's called Jesus Christ. And I'm begging you, don't be so knuckleheaded that you don't accept the offer of peace that God is offering you right now. This Christmas, if you haven't, receive the offer of peace. But to the rest of you who have made peace with God through Jesus Christ, need to know this, that peace accepted means this. It must be peace extended. Peace accepted must be peace extended. We've all heard stories that at wartime, there's often a truce that takes place during Christmas Eve to go through Christmas Day. It's not uncommon during war. And so during World War II, on the German front, there was an American who held his hand on a detonator, and he was about to detonate some mines behind enemy lines. There were some German soldiers hunkered down where those mines were at, and so a flare went up before he pushed the button. A flare went up announcing Christmas Eve truce. And he put down the detonator, and everybody else put down their guns. And so not too much longer, you could hear the Germans, you know, because they're not that far away. He could hear them singing. He heard one German singing in German, Silent Night. He didn't just recognize the song, he recognized the voice. It was Johann Lieber, a brilliant German tenor from Munich, Germany. And the reason he recognized the voice is because this young American has studied music underneath Johann Lieber. He began to sing. And then Lieber recognized his voice. And they began to sing Silent Night together, one in German, the other in English. And they began to sing other songs. And for several hours, they began to sing carols back and forth about the birth of the Prince of Peace. Early the day after Christmas, on December 26th, the next morning, another flare went up in the air. The truce was over. And that young American picked up that detonator. And with great sadness, he pushed the button. And many enemies were killed. Many enemy soldiers, German soldiers were killed, including Johann Lieber. And we look at that story, and we're like, man, that's so sad. How can that be? But let's be honest. That's how it is, isn't it? We take a moment from Christmas, and we stop fighting so much, and the volume in our homes goes down a little bit. But it doesn't last, does it? The wars and the conflicts and the divorces just start all back up all over again after Christmas. And the world desperately needs a witness of a people who believe that a Prince of Peace has come and that he has inaugurated a new vision, a new destiny for our world, that Jesus Christ came to wage peace, that someday this whole earth is going to be bathed in peace. And guess what? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. And Christmas supplies us with the motivation to be peacemakers. See, what the angels sang in heaven that night is something that they wanted the whole earth to share in. Think about it. When has Jesus ever given you anything he wanted you to hoard? I mean, when has Jesus ever said to you, now you keep this to yourself and make sure nobody else gets any? When has Jesus ever given you a gift that he wants you just to hoard to yourself? But we don't do that sometimes with peace. A lot of times with peace, we settle for cold wars instead of peace. Recently, my wife and I were having an argument, and it wasn't going very well, and we weren't making any progress. And I just finally said, hey, Rach, I'll tell you what. If I say I was wrong, I'll say I was wrong if you'll say that I was right. I say I was wrong, you say I was right. She said, okay. I said, honey, I was wrong. She said, you're right. That didn't go exactly as planned. But I think we learned this, haven't we? That, you know, when you live with flawed people, and by the way, everyone you live with is flawed. That's the only way we live, is all flawed people. The only way you live with flawed people is to offer the gift of peace. And so here's the truth, church. We are God's Peace Corps. And we are the people announcing to the world that earth bathed in shalom is not just some crazy piped up dream. It's real, it's coming, and it starts with us. We are sent out, listen, we are sent out to increase the peace. This Christmas, you are sent out to increase the peace. In Hebrews chapter 12, look what it says. Make every effort to live in what? Peace with everyone. This Christmas. In Romans chapter 12, if it's possible, look at this. As far as it depends on you, you can't control the other side. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So you know the question I'm going to ask. Are you ready? Here it is. Are you at odds with somebody this Christmas? Are you at odds with somebody right now? Somebody at work hoping to avoid them at the Christmas party? On your way to church today, you drove by the house, one of your neighbors, you know, you can't stand, and you just can't wait for the day when you see a for sale sign out in their front yard, you know? Maybe there's extended family right now that you're just not looking forward to having a Christmas meal with later on this month. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, don't show up and worship God if you've got something against a brother. Go make things right. And I know what some of you are thinking. Right now you're pushing back and you're saying this, well, why do I have to make the first move? I didn't start it. It's like we're children, right? I'm not asking you to make the first move. I'm telling you that God made the first move. At Bethlehem, God started the peace process. That's what he did at Bethlehem. He's asking you to make the next move. Many years ago, when John McCain was running for presidential election, he was interviewed by Time magazine, and he was asked about his own personal faith journey, and he told the account of a moment in his life when it dawned on him what Jesus had done for him. John McCain spent 5.5 years a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And he said after it was a custom for them oftentimes during the evenings to tie his hands behind his back, have him kneel down, and then tie a rope around his neck, and then they would tie that rope so that way his head would be between his knees. And he had to sleep like that. Can you imagine how painful that would be? I don't know about you, but if I'm off like an inch with my pillows, I can't sleep right now. I can't imagine being in that kind of position, how painful that would have been. But that happened night after night after night. And one night, he says, a Vietnamese prison guard came to him, untied his ropes, and he was able to spend a pain-free night until early in the morning. And that same prison guard would come in and retie the ropes before the other guards would show up. And that man came and retied the ropes so his act of kindness to John McCain would not be discovered. About a month later, it was Christmas Day. And the prisoners of war were given an unexpected few moments outside. He recognized the Vietnamese guard. And he said that the man walked over to him, didn't say a word to him, didn't look him in the eye. He just kind of looked down right next to John McCain, and with his foot, with his shoe, he drew a cross in the sand. And then the man just walked away. The prison guard just walked away. And McCain said, for the first time in my entire life, I finally recognize that there is only one hope for peace on earth, and it's Jesus Christ. We all need the gift that the angels sing about, don't we? We all need that peace on earth. But I want you to hear me. It's a gift that you can't keep unless you give it. It's a gift you can't keep unless you give it. God doesn't give it to you to hoard. He gives it to you to extend. So I'm asking you this Christmas, with whom do you need to give peace a chance? You're not going to find what you're looking for underneath a Christmas tree. So in a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. I'm going to ask you, if you have not given your life with Jesus Christ, you have not made peace with God, I'm asking you to do that, to come forward, confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and be baptized and receive that peace with God. For many of us, if you know you're not at peace with someone this Christmas, here's my challenge to you. Won't you write down their name or names on that card in front of you? And then bring it up to our prayer team who's going to be up here in just a second. They don't have to know the backstory. God knows. But here's my gut feeling about most of us in the room. You probably haven't had anybody pray over that for you. You probably haven't had anybody pray over that relationship with your son or daughter, or right now what's going on with somebody at work, or maybe a neighbor, or your own spouse. I don't know, a friend. But right now, why don't you take that card and just write their name down. Just write their first name down. And take that first step this Christmas in being a peacemaker. Why don't you have someone pray about that this Christmas? Here's the challenge for us. One day, the whole earth is going to be bathed in shalom. The passion, Scripture says, of the Almighty will accomplish this. You and I are to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, carrying around the testimony that such a day is really coming. That such a day of completeness and wholeness and perfection is really coming. But right now, won't we take a baby step in bringing peace in our homes, in our relationships this Christmas? Will you stand with me? Please stand. Let me pray over you. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that we will not continue to go the way things have been. That war and conflict are not acceptable for people of God. That cold war is not acceptable for people of God. We realize that we can't make people accept the offer of peace, but we are in total control on whether or not they are offered peace. So Lord, right now I pray for our relationships. I pray for those situations right now where there is no peace. God, you will bring peace. That we will humble ourselves, just as Jesus did when he left heaven and he came to earth, that we will humble ourselves and offer peace to someone this Christmas. Since Christmas, Lord, we pray to give us the courage and the conviction to be ambassadors of your peace. The day of shalom is certain and it's sure and it starts and begins with us. Convict every heart that needs to be at peace with you. May this be the day that they receive your grace that washes all sin away forever. Lord, thank you so much for offering peace to us through Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name, the whole church said. Amen. So once again, if we could pray for you, our team is up here. Maybe you take a first step, receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, have peace with God. Maybe you need to extend peace. Somebody pray over a relationship right now. But whatever it is right now, won't you come as we give praise to the Prince of Peace. Can we give him praise right now, church? Can we give him glory? Let's worship him together. Please come.